My next guest is on the line. She is Dr. Michelle Henley, the director and co-founder and principal researcher at Elephants Alive. Dr. Henley, thanks for being with me this afternoon.
Hi, Simon. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Dr. Henley, so you've spent years and years studying elephants and other wildlife. So I guess the first question I want to ask you is, why is it so important to talk about how we behave around animals in places like the Kruger?
Yes, I have. I've been studying elephants for close to 30 years now, and I think when it comes to elephants in particular, because they're so big and strong, I think we need to respect them and we need to understand how to respect them. So it's critical because otherwise, you can end up in a situation where you've either got very upset and angry elephants, or injured tourists.
Yeah, no, and I wouldn't want to be injured by an elephant, that is for sure. So, in that regard, tell me, what are some of the most common mistakes that visitors make when encountering wildlife?
So probably the most common mistake, and I think it's just a matter of having peripheral awareness, is to, for instance, to speed, to be very noisy, to block elephants' paths, because often, they're coming across the road and there's a very clear path, and you wouldn't do that to a person, just suddenly stand in their pathway
Sure,
and make them go
sure.
around you. So why are we doing that to elephants? So if you can clearly see there's a footpath, don't go and park your car in the middle of the footpath. So those are quite common mistakes. And also driving through the middle of breeding herds, because obviously mothers with little ones are very concerned about the safety of their babies. So if you separate them, you are an immediate threat. So those are some of the basics.
What then are the golden rules for staying safe when you're with any big game, really?
Well, I mean, it all boils down to respect. So to maybe familiarize yourself with very subtle body language cues that elephants do give. So, for instance, and also to look at their reproductive state. I mean, that's also very important. If a bull is in must, then you must know that that animal's got much higher testosterone levels than what they usually have, so they can be more aggressive. So I would say that's very important. And a must bull is very easy to identify because of their huge swollen temporal glands. There's fluid coming out of the glands. They dribble urine the whole time. When you get close enough to them, you can. They've got a particular scent to them. It smells like ammonia almost.
Okay.
And then they've also got a very specific walk. So from a distance, you can identify must bulls sometimes because they're trying to look big and strong and tall. So they almost pull themselves up on their front legs and they've got a very head held high position that they sway from side to side. And a must bull is trying to tell other big bulls, stay out of my way, I'm looking for females. So why would you, as a tourist in maybe a little car, try and assert your dominance with a must bull? So it's really good to give a must bull their space. And I think that's really important. And then when it comes to the other subtle cues of
Yeah.
elephants, when they're very content and they're busy grazing or browsing, depending on the season, they've got this way of swaying their tails slowly and rhythmically. If they start getting frightened, which is usually the first sign, then they would stop their tail swinging and they would start arching it over towards the side. So that means the elephant is getting frightened or potentially agitated, and that should be your first sign to look out for.
It seems though that we're encroaching more and more on their territory. Every game park that I've seen lately has these beautiful cabins right in the middle of elephant territory, unfenced to a large degree. And I'm just wondering, so wh What should a visitor do, or what should we do, and how should we react if an animal approaches a campsite or where it is that you're staying unexpectedly? Just bearing in mind that you're on their territory.
Yes, that's a very good question. I think if you're a tourist and you're not familiar with the animal, you shouldn't be walking around at night. Like, let's say there's a dining hall where all the tourists sit and have supper, and you forgot something and you want to quickly run back to your chalet or your tent at night. I think that's a very bad, I mean, it would be very bad of the management to allow you to do that. You need an experienced guide that would walk you back to your chalet or your tent. So that's the first thing. And also, if you've, and you should have experienced guides in your midst. If an animal approaches close to a tourist, they should always be under surveillance of the management so that they can guide them. Because, a lot of people are just inexperienced, or they think they can just walk up to dangerous game, and that's usually when there's a problem.
Oh, the insanity of it is just mind-blowing. Now and again, you see those awful YouTube videos of just an animal going rogue, apparently or ostensibly for no reason. I don't know, because the context is never really given. But do animals just somehow go rogue for no particular reason?
No, usually not. They are provoked somehow. And, when there's a high density of tourists and it's self-drive tourists, that's often
Yes.
where it's a problem, because you might have one tourist that's totally insensitive, that charges past with a whole lot of noise, charges past, let's say, a young bull that's just grazing on the side of the road, minding his own business. And now he's already aggravated. And then another tourist comes and maybe revs the engine. That's often what people think they can do. I don't know where this came from, but they can rev the engine to show that they're
Why?
stronger than the elephant. And that just aggravates it even more. And then the third tourist that comes actually knows how to approach an elephant, but by that time, the previous people that have been insensitive might have aggravated that animal. So then the animal might have a very negative reaction to an innocent tourist. So I think that's why it's so important that, everybody tries to follow the same rules, and also to think, you might have got away, but it has repercussions for the people coming after you. And I think it's important to remember that. I mean, to talk about rogue, I don't know if that's the right word, but for a must bull that is trying to assert
No, I just,
his dominance, they can just suddenly look as though they're very aggressive, and it's because their temper is short. And if you try and interfere with them, say, now accessing a breeding herd, then you're sort of in the way. So, I mean, it does happen, but I would say 9 times out of 10, maybe even 99 times out of 100, the animal's been provoked by people beforehand.
This issue of keeping a respectful distance being so important, not just for our own safety, is it important for the animals as well, this respectful distance?
Yes, I think it's very important. They've got a safe zone, and if you continually right in their space, it really leads to agitation, and then there can be repercussions and things can escalate. And I think this is where, if you're not familiar with animals' behavior, then just put yourself in that position and treat them like you would want to be treated. I mean, let's say you were minding your business in a shopping mall, and you have 10 people that come up to you in close succession and come and stand in front of you and stare and make a noise and talk to each other. You will be irritated, just like an
Yes,
animal
very
would be.
much.
I think it's just
Very
common
much.
sense. A lot of the advice is actually just common sense and respect.
I'm just wondering if we can make this real in some way. Are you able to share an example of a situation, say, where good behavior has maybe prevented a dangerous encounter?
Yes, I think, for instance, and I think that, there is a real danger for must bulls that are aggressive. So if you if you familiarize yourself with what are the symptoms of a mast animal, and you see an animal coming at a distance, and you can see this animal's in mast, now you know it's not, you know, the animal is has got a shorter temper than usual. Yeah. The wrong behavior would be just to continue, even at a slow, quiet speed, straight head on towards the animal, because that in itself is a sign of dominance. So then you just take your time, turn the vehicle around so that there's always an escape route, and drive in the other direction. Or make sure you give the animal time to move off the road, and maybe not even continue along the road, and then everything will be fine. So I think it's familiarizing yourself with basic elephant postures and then taking precaution.
Last question. This issue of colored clothing, I noticed that all game rangers, we know, we're sort of very brown, khaki, unexcited colors. Is there a reason for that? Can animals actually discern brighter colors, and does it bother them?
Well, I think it depends on the species. I mean, everybody thought that khaki is the color for ungulates, but actually blue, dark blues are as good in terms of camouflage as what greens are. You know, when it comes to elephants, they have fairly poor eyesight, and especially when it's very bright light. So I don't think it would matter so much. For me personally, if you're in a vehicle, the color of your clothes is less important than the noise level and the speed and how you're moving around in the vehicle than what you're actually wearing. When you're walking, it's obviously very different, you know, because then you're really in the bush and you're not concealed in any way. So then I think you have to really try and blend as much as what you can.
Dr. Michelle Henley, director and co-founder of Elephants Alive, thank you for telling us how to stay safe in our parks over this December period.